The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. As Pastor Cliff reached out to me, and I was so humbled and blessed and amazed, and mentioned the opportunity to bring three messages, which is something I've never done before, I prayed to the Lord. My poor wife saw me, wow, you're really studying hard for this. I'm an open book, opening this book, see what God has. I reread the Gospels. I reread the Book of Psalms. I wanted to have a big well to draw from. I didn't want to put limits on the Lord. And the funny thing is, after all that, when all is said and done, what I couldn't get away from, what simple three things are on the Lord's heart that He wants for each and every one of us? He wants all to be saved. He wants us to come to the knowledge of the truth and be baptized into a local church home. And He wants us to serve Him in worship, in spirit and truth. So you're getting three messages from me over the course of this week, and so I thought, you know, how am I going to organize this and have a flow? There's a thing when we're teaching and we're presenting, some of y'all may have heard this. It's called the what, the so what, and the now what. The what is when we present, okay, what are we talking about here? What's going on? So we break it down and explain it to the congregation. That's the what. The so what, why did it matter to them in its context? Okay, the now what is, why should I care? What does this mean for us here today? Or as my wife would say, what's that got to do with the price of eggs? And so y'all are going to be blessed because these messages are going to be really simple. If you want to know the title for tonight's message is The What. Tomorrow's message will be The So What, and the last one will be The Now What. If you want more spiritually sounding titles, I've got those for you too. So what is The What? The what is Jesus saves. Amen. There is no bigger what than that. So yes, we're going to be talking about salvation this evening. So if that's the what's the so what after Jesus saves? So get baptized. That's the so what. So we're going to talk about baptism tomorrow. Then the now what? Okay, now go serve. So we're going to talk about service in the last message. So that's kind of the flow here. Here in Luke chapter 7, let's read picking up in verse 18. John the Baptist is in prison. He's hearing about things happening, and we'll take a look here. By the way, all three messages are going to be right here in Luke chapter 7. We're going to borrow some from Psalms, but Luke 7, 18. The disciples of John also reported to him about all these things. And after summoning two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the coming one, or are we to look for another?" And I'll pause here. I've heard different thoughts on this. Could it really be that a man of great faith like John the Baptist could have a weak moment in faith? Absolutely. It could happen to any of us. I'm the kind of guy who gives people probably too much benefit of the doubt. See, John the Baptist was arrested way early on before Jesus got to do a lot of the things he was doing. And John the Baptist knew Jesus was the Messiah. He baptized him. Maybe John's saying, "Hey, you're finally getting the ball rolling now? Hey, Jesus, is that you?" I don't know. I could be wrong. But anyway. So John sends the guys to ask about Jesus. Verse 20, when the men came to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, are you the coming one, or are we to look for another?" The spiritual title for tonight's message, are we to look for another? At that very time, verse 21, he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and evil spirits. He gave sight to many who were blind. And he answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard. People who are blind receive sight. People who limp walk. People with leprosy are cleansed. And people who are deaf hear. Dead people are raised up. And people who are poor have the gospel preached to them." Verse 23, "And blessed is anyone who does not take offense at me." And that's where we're going to stop. Now, we just sang a hymn, Victory in Jesus, and the second verse goes like this. This is not scripture. This is scripture. This is not just sort of clear. I don't say heavenly highway. Second verse. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power, revealing how he made the lame to walk again, caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." Somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. That's our message for tonight that we're going to be focusing on. So thank you for that song, for the confirmation there. I appreciate that. So, I mentioned the beautiful thing about preaching for strangers is that, you know, it's not a directed message. The other beautiful thing is, in Christ, we're really not strangers. After all, we're just connecting, we're discovering, we're growing. We have a mutual kindred spirit. And we have a common cause. With our salvation, we have a new birth to rejoice in. We're going to see tomorrow with baptism, we have a new home to belong with. And with our service, we have a new identity to live out. Great things to look forward to. I pray in each of these messages that you all sense the heart urgency that I know the Lord himself has for these things he has for all of us to take hold of. I pray that we all recognize, though we're not worthy, and none of us would think we are, in the sight of Christ, we are worth it. It's not about being worthy. We're worth it to him. Now, you may have gone through this passage that I just read and go, wait a minute, preacher, I did a head count, and I'm not sure how many total people were saved in the passage you just read. You're going to be talking about salvation. Yeah, but remember, Jesus was doing all these things for what? To show who he is. What was the confirmation that he was a Christ? Look, see, lives are being changed here. Not just the physical healings, but the poor having the gospel preached. Do you not see what's happening here? Go tell John, yes, this is all it. This is it. This is happening. So, even though this might not be a textbook typical salvation section of scripture to use, I hope we can see there's a pattern here. Here's someone in some form of a prison seeking out from that. Is it really Jesus? Or do I need to be looking elsewhere? I pray that as we look to our own selves and the things that can bind us and the things that can imprison us in this life, in our hearts and our spirits, that we know the answer to the question. If Jesus is really the answer, or if we need to look elsewhere, if we need to look for another. You know, I've been to some landmark missionary Baptist churches before. I've never been to an old landmark missionary Baptist church. I just got to say before I forget, that's just cool. Old is good. Old is, we like the old. And so, old landmark, I am not deserving of your kindness. Or, and this is important too, or your sacrifice, which doesn't go unnoticed. So that's pastor talk for adjust your expectations. I'm not all that. I'm not deserving of your kindness, your sacrifice. Yet, because of just that, here I am. But that's how it is for all of us. None of us are deserving of Jesus Christ's kindness or his sacrifice. And yet, because of just that, here we are. Praise be to God. Beautiful. That kindness of God that leads us to repentance. That we're seated in heavenly places right here on earth. We're lifted up above the kitchen. We're lifted up even more in our spirits under Christ. I'll say again, we all know, I hope, none of us are deserving of his kindness and sacrifice, but we're here. But the question is, are we to look for another? The question's asked. Is it really Jesus? Is the goodness of God real? Well, for starters, what have you and I witnessed and experienced in our own lives that we can say we know is real? A little bit about my testimony. We'll make this quick. For me, as a young child, sadly, it did not take long for me to realize that things like evil, harm, and the brokenness that comes with it, yeah, they're very real. And by the way, there's a word for evil, harm, and brokenness. That word is sin. And yeah, didn't take long for me to realize that that was all real. No denying, no running or hiding from it. And what breaks my heart is that so many kids have it so far worse than I ever did. I got off lucky by comparison. But things like evil, harm, brokenness, they found me. I did not escape it. And it breaks my heart as an old man of 54 to see how many of our young have their innocence taken from them by life, society, the world, you name it. Far too young. But there came a point in my growing up when I had to realize, wait a minute, this is no longer them or this, that, or the other thing. I just did that. That was me. can't blame this on that. I can't blame this on anyone else. I did that. I had to come to terms and reckon with evil in me. Harm that I inflicted. Brokenness in me. That became very real. What am I going to do with that? I want to say this. I joke about directed messages. On the one hand, directed messages mean you put that in there specifically for some person. I haven't done that. What I do hope and pray, and I mean this, I hope and pray that what the Lord's put on my heart for tonight, there is someone right here who needs to hear this, who needs this encouragement, who needs to know you're not alone. If anyone's ever been repulsed by their own evil, you're not alone. I've been there. Here's good news. Evil can't be repulsed by evil. So for you to recognize your own evil, that means there's something good in you. We'll talk about that in a moment. Another way of understanding this. The clinical term, a truly insane person doesn't know they're insane. Okay, a crazy person doesn't know they're crazy. A truly insane person isn't self-aware enough to realize they're insane. Someone who's sociopathically evil has zero regard for harm that they inflict. So to wonder about or worry about yourself, if you've ever wondered or worried about yourself, what was wrong with you, the fact that you care enough to ask shows there is something good in you. And you know what that is? There's a term for that. Just like evil, harm, and brokenness, the word for that is sin. The word for that good in you that's recognizing that you don't want this, that this is wrong, that's called a God-given conscience. He put that in there for you. That's a gift of God. That shows there's something good in you that doesn't want that brokenness, harm, and evil. That's God saying, hello, I'm with you. I've got something for you. Here's the problem, though. You and I are helpless to break free of our own evil and sin on our own. We can try. We're not going to get very far. Our own sin has us just as chained up and locked up as John the Baptist in that prison. In fact, we're told the wages of sin is death. We are on our own spiritual death row when we're dealing with this. We are in danger of hell, eternal separation from the giver of life. More good news. We're not left on our own. Yeah, the wages of sin is death. But what's the rest of that verse say? The glorious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus who died for our sins, yours and mine. So we, you and me, so we could be saved from spiritual death, hell, separation, all of it. So we could have a permanent spot reserved for us in heaven. Jesus did all that. Okay, we all know all too well the reality of evil, harm, and brokenness, and sin, and death. We get that. But how real is the goodness of God? How real is this forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ? Hold your place in Luke. Join me in Psalms. If I went through the whole book, we're going to go there. Psalm 25. I'm going to allow the well of Psalms here just to spill over and mostly speak for itself. But let's look at the beauty of old landmark, the beauty of this old, ancient, faithful word is it remains living and true today. Psalm 25, verse 4. We'll read 4 to 18. Psalm 25, verse 4. Make me know your ways, Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Remember, Lord, your compassion and your faithfulness, for they have been from of old. Right, old landmark? Amen. do not remember the sins of my youth or my wrongdoings. Remember me according to your faithfulness, for your goodness' sake. The Lord is good and upright. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are faithfulness and truth to those who comply with his covenant, his testimonies. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my wrongdoing, for it is great. 12, who is the person who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will dwell in prosperity. His descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. He will make them know his covenant. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will rescue my feet from the net. 16. Turn to me. Be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look at my misery and my trouble and forgive all my sins. You ever think that, wow, I'm too much this, I'm too much that. No one's going to like me, no one's going to understand me. If I were to open up and share this, people would run away, people would turn the other direction. Not your heavenly Father.
Amen.
Who sent his only begotten Son. Look at these verses. He desires you. He wants to receive you in your brokenness. Psalm 103, we won't go there. It says, he is mindful that we are but dust. Do join me in Psalm 34 for two verses. Psalm 34, verses 18 and 19. This great, mighty, all-powerful God, Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord rescues him from them all. The same God who is never going to leave or forsake Joshua is the same Lord who desires you to be there. For you. The best, the worst, no matter. Let's go to Psalm 94, last psalm we'll look at this evening. Psalm 94, pick up in verse 17. Psalm 94, verses 17 to 19. Psalm 94, 17 says this. If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would have dwelt in the land of silence. If I should say, my foot is slipped, your faithfulness, Lord, will support me. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your comfort delights my soul. When you feel you are at your most messed up, however you want to describe it, your Jesus, your Heavenly Father, sending his only Son, is there for you.
Amen.
There's nothing he won't see you through. He would never say, oh, I didn't know that. Forget you, I'm out of here. He already knows. That's the big secret, is it's not a secret. He already knows, and he's still saying, yeah, I'm here. I did what I did for you. I'm here for you now. I will be with you to the end. Brings us back to Luke 7. So all of this, people who are blind are receiving sight in verse 22. Those who limp, walk. People with leprosy are cleansed. People who are deaf, hear. Dead people raise up. People who are poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is anyone who does not take offense at Jesus, he says. There really is one who has been redeeming, who has been releasing and freeing and changing lives for thousands of years. And he's not done. The one who never lost his innocence. Oh, I lost mine. He never lost his innocence. He was himself arrested so we could be released. Just like Barabbas. the one who handed over his innocent life to be revoked so that ours could be stamped, redeemed. The one who was buried with our sins so that we could be reborn, yes, in his innocence. The one who rose in victory. So we would no more be fallen in defeat. Are we to look for another? Is all this too good to be true? Is it hard to see and believe from the prison cell of your own life? What does your heart, what does your soul gut tell you? Is there something, or better yet, someone, not me, telling you this really is? This is true. This is right. Is the Lord, not me, the Lord, the one drawing and calling you right here and now? This Jesus who 100% died and 100% was and is alive again. Very well documented, even outside the Bible. What are you going to do with that? With him? And by the way, yeah, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, oh, it's been dismissed. It's been disregarded. You know what it has never been? It has never been debunked. It has never been disproven. Imagine that. Oh, people have tried. They end up getting converted, so I love to say, go for it. But think about this. For all of this death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, for this to have really happened, two things. Number one, there must have really been a need. And right with it, he must have been really able to fulfill it. Now, this was an eye-opener for me, preparing this message, so thank you all. I needed this. Do we really think he'd go to all that trouble and not be able to save even you, even me? Now, I'm going to really go out on a limb here. My wife's going to coach the scene here for a moment. What I'm about to present, I'm going to do to draw out an extreme example to illustrate a point. What I'm about to suggest, what I'm about to say, I want to make sure you know my heart. I mean zero, absolutely zero irreverence towards Christ, absolutely zero mockery, of course, of him. But understand this, because we sometimes think, oh, can Jesus really save me? Think about this. Can you imagine what... Do you really imagine Jesus on the cross saying, well, I hope this works? Yes, you can laugh, because it's that absurd. Can you imagine Jesus on the cross going, well, guess it's about a 60-40 chance of this working, so yeah, okay, we'll go for it, we'll go. If Jesus Christ had no doubt, why would we? Don't doubt the one who had no doubt what he could do for you. Amen. What he could accomplish with you and in you and through you. How can we doubt what Jesus can do for us when he never did? He literally bet his life on it. He put his all on the line. He was all in for you and me. All he had to give, blood, sweat, and tears. For even you, or even me. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is anyone who does not take offense at me, Jesus says. Are we to look for another? This same John the Baptist, by the way, he's the one who said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold means look to. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Do you choose take offense at Jesus? Or do you choose to let Jesus take your offenses away, along with all the sins of the rest of the world? Now, be very clear. We are not talking about positive mental attitude. We're not talking about the power of positive thinking. We are talking about the only begotten Son of God. Amen. This is the one of whom the Father said, this is my Son. Listen to him. If that Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Have you beheld, each and every one of you, have you beheld, have you looked to, have you seen and heard in your heart, in your spirit, in your soul gut, the Lamb of God? Christ, our Passover, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Are you the coming one, or do we seek another? Will you let the coming one, who came once and is coming again, come into your heart and life right here and now? You know, John said, John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God, look to the Lamb of God. I'm committing double blasphemy because I've got another hymn up here that's not scripture. This was called Look to the Lamb of God. I was preaching as a visiting preacher at the Whittier Church years ago, and this was the song for the offering. I'm like, I like that song. I'm going to use that. Hear the words to this hymn. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God, for he alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Verse 2. When Satan tempts and doubts and fears assail, look to the Lamb of God. You in his strength shall overall prevail. Look to the Lamb of God. Verse 3. Are you weary? Does the way seem long? Look to the Lamb of God. His love will cheer and fill your heart with song. The fact that he loved and saved me, yeah, that makes me happy. Last verse. Fear not when shadows on your pathway fall. Look to the Lamb of God. In joy or sorrow, Christ is all in all. Look to the Lamb of God. The funny thing about our circumstances, they don't change God. They sure rock our world, they don't rock his. He's not surprised by them. He's not changed by them. Look to the Lamb of God, for he alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Now I know, once again, this isn't a salvation passage. But as we are seeking out from our own prison bonds, whatever they may be, will Jesus, the Christ appointed for us, be our answer? Are you still going to look for another? Let's stand. Have a song of invitation. And as the pianist comes forward, we have a song. Hey, I've got a good one right here. And as we prepare for this, I pray that more than anything coming out of my mouth, that the Word of God coming from His Spirit makes a difference, encourages, reassures, gives peace, shows that there is a way, that there is nothing about you, there's nothing you're going through, nothing you're afraid of, that Christ can't handle, nothing he can't save you from, even from our own sins, even from the sentence of death and hell. He can save us from that, from everything, whatever your need is. Will Christ be your answer? Don't let that. Let Jesus take care of you.
Hold up your red hip.